Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Really jumped into that one.
Yeah, we're all here. Wow. Look at that. Woo.
Woo. Welcome once more to Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am, as per usual, GM Nathan, excited to be sitting around the table with these excellent folks here at Reckless Attack, whom I really have no idea what they're about to do. And that's fine. And I'm totally feeling normal and not stressed at all about that. Nope. Not at all. Let's introduce our various chaos gremlins inside the psyche of their GM's mind today, starting with the individual to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human asterisk cleric asterisk of the Arcanum Domain. And Val's spooked, but still wants to go to the library.
Do you think they have like a incorporeal library card?
God, I, Sophie, debating, like, just like trying to figure out what happened in the city to figure out the physical state of the books. Mm-hmm. Can you read a translucent incorporeal book? Val probably can, but
you just slide it directly down into your head.
Like osmosis.
Yeah. Diffusion, and then, you know.
Love the idea that the card would just be invisible, and so you have just a blank spot in your Rolodex of library cards. Like, no, there's one there.
Yeah. It's definitely there.
And to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and it's trusty frog pals Mango and Junior. And Checkers remains on a mission to touch the highest point in all of Narhasser.
You were right there.
I was right there.
And, well, I'm not gonna point webbed fingers at anyone, but that opportunity was taken from you. And I guess that's as your GM, that's all I'm going to say about that.
We'll get it on the way out,
like a tourist attraction. Yeah. Like, okay, we'll on the way back, we'll get it
right. And to my left,
hi everyone. I'm David, and I play Kaskrim Brightmane, a dwarven sorcerer. And in my goal of ruining this campaign, as a free action, I pull out this deck of many things that I've been holding on to since episode one.
It was there in character creation. Yeah. You just never checked. You
never
idiot.
Saw it, Nathan. And to my left. I draw 6 cards.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am playing Sylve Asterlin, the Dragonborn monk, who is looking forward to seeing the painting of similar to the Sistine Chapel, except with Checkers touching the very tip of
the tower.
Of the tower, yeah.
I don't remember if it's back-to-back episodes, but I'll say it again. Fan art?
Yeah.
In case anyone's looking for inspiration, there you go. There you have it. That's right. You guys found yourself, well, in a bit of a surprising location. I mean, like, geographically, you're where you thought you were going to be. But instead of, you know, just exclusively a smoking crater, well, there's like the city of Narhasser is there, sort of. Is sort of there. Is like maybe like 80% there, depends on kind of your screen settings, I guess. And you guys have, after a very cautious descent, found yourselves on a rooftop in what appears to be the semi-there ghostly question mark city of Narhasser, which again was the seat of power of the Pentarchy. Even now, you guys are able to look around, especially off this kind of main thoroughfare that you guys find yourselves in. You see a lot that is very, very familiar to you in terms of architecture and vibe and whatnot from your home city of Akmar, but it's definitely a little different. Mostly in that you can see through it. And you can see through its various inhabitants. As we described a little bit last time, well, there's something weird about them. Most, I would say, the vast majority are these strange, mortal-shaped blobs. Barely there, just churning through the streets. Others are slightly more formed, slightly more corporeal, that are interacting, are walking around a little bit, but seem to be close to the same. And then you saw fully, still translucent, but corporealized in fine detail, high resolution, guards of the Pentarchy.
Kaskrin, as we are on top of this rooftop, is doing what any good soldier should do, reconnaissance. What is he hearing? Like, is there the murmurs of a city? Is it dead silent and just the sound of the desert wind?
Now that you are closer to people, or people? Things? There is a little bit of familiar hubbub of a city.
Okay.
But it's all as if the volume knob has been turned down to maybe a 6 instead of a 10. So there is murmuring, but where you could maybe pick out a voice here and there, it's more just going constantly.
Just muffled.
But as you guys are situating yourself down on the roof, as you guys landed on it in the first place, as you are watching to see as carts are pushed around and wheels are turning and things are being sold and coins are jangling, you hear none of that. Other than the voices, the city is completely silent.
And I kind of want to describe a little bit of what the four guilders look like on this rooftop, because I'm imagining that Checkers would have, before we even landed here, cast the spell Pass Without Trace.
Ooh, okay.
Just to give us a little edge in our stealth mission. So we all just landed, dropped down from the Skystalker, and we're all looking a little translucent ourselves, a little wiggly. It's like we don't have bones.
Why would you do this again?
Yes, I recall now.
Just wobbling around on this roof. And Checkers just looks around at the city before him.
Val, did you find anything about the city while you were researching? Do we have a map or anything?
Val has knelt down on the roof and is just like massaging the ceiling to figure out what state it's in,
steel.
What physical state. Yeah, it's steel. And instead of answering, it's just like squishing a roof with her fingers.
So as you guys look down, as a reminder, and which is just maybe adding to kind of the uncanniness of this situation, is that you can look through all of these things. Again, I'm imagining there's just kind of a nice, I don't know, maybe a bluish hue to everything.
It's like iridescent.
Exactly. But you can look down and you can see the vast dark crater below you.
Just a quick clarifying question. We did get a map of the city, right?
Yes, okay. You would have been able to get a map of that sort of thing, and certainly you saw it from above, but I think you would have at least rudimentary knowledge of kind of what the city looks like, some of its basic information, that kind of
thing. And it's laid out similar to Egmar.
Anyway. At least certain big parts of it are, for sure.
If there was a map, Val for sure has it.
That's kind of why I figure map at minimum, it would be in a book that you just threw into a sack and gone with it.
Castron's going to go up to Val as you're massaging the roof. Val, can you hand me the map real quick? I want to see where we are.
Yeah, we can take a look at it. And Val will, like, just stop massaging the roof and snap back into focus.
Is it, like, a scroll, or do you think it's, like, a book?
It is some type of origami, because...
Hell yeah,
it, so you can, like, fold it. So you can unfold it for the full map, but then you can also fold it into, like, I don't know, like a 6x8 piece.
Okay.
To, like, look at a specific part, like, kind of made to look at while moving in a certain section of the city.
Kaskrin will take it and unfold all of it with no intention or ability to fold it back in, unfortunately.
You realize, oh no, this is quite complicated.
Yeah, he like undoes it. It's like, oh, this is great. Oh shoot, how does this work again?
Nope. Now we'll take it away before you can mess up the creases.
But he is going to look and see, because, you know, there's the main tower and there's the 5 different citadels that we saw on the way in. And I imagine in the main square, maybe, are we like equidistant to the 5 citadels?
Yeah, you guys are essentially right in the middle of the city at the moment, because you landed as I recall, essentially right next to the tower within, mm-hmm. Couple hundred feet, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge city. So for all intents and purposes, yes, you are equidistant to everywhere in the city at the moment due to your landing spot.
Okay. And he's going to lay it down and kind of like call Checkers and Selv and Val over and say, we're on a bit of a time crunch.
Yeah, I'm shriveling up by the minute here.
What do you think? Split the party?
Absolutely not.
Pairs of twos?
I call dibs with Selv.
Absolutely not.
All right. Well, given that we can only check one of these landmarks at a time then, if we're all going to go as a group, tower excluded, the most likely scenario is that Chaturanga Grumbingle, the Grung, maybe we can find remnants of them or clues in one of these citadels.
Before we determine path to the citadel, can we maybe recap what we know about Chaturanga Chaturanga
Grumbingle.
Sophie, why are you struggling with this? It's a very normal name.
Is one of those a title?
Yes, Far Eye is
the title.
So we know that they were one of the Ingaton.
Yes, the leader back then.
And they were, I believe, captured by the Pentarchy.
Were they captured or were they invited?
They were deposed, specifically. So someone betrayed, handed over Far Eye, this particular Far Eye, to the Pentarchy and was installed as a new Pentarchy puppet, basically. And again, his replacement was the one who really brought this tribe in closer alliance with the Pentarchy.
Okay.
And as you may recall also, Val's mom, thanks to her research in the books, in the book Grungs Galore, an analysis of amphibious associations, that at the time, apparently, the Grung were very, very convinced that they could summon spirits directly from some sort of elemental plane. Then, within a few years of the Far Eye being captured, the Pentarchy brought down the sun and elemental horrors destroyed life as you guys knew it. So, her theory was that maybe he had some sort of information that the Pentarchy was interested in. So, may have been indeed someone that they would have kept alive, at least up until Sunfall, presumably, killed everyone.
Just an idea, but maybe we just watch the guards, see where the guards go. Probably the headquarters of the Pentarchy guards. There's probably some kind of jail in there, and that would be, presumably, the most secure place to put a political prisoner.
I feel like that would work for normal prisoners. If Far Eye was brought here for their magical knowledge, I think they would be probably held at a citadel then by Celestia. Would any of the other members of the Pentarchy make like more sense given like their archetype to be the one working with Grumbingle?
Give me a history roll.
I rolled a 2.
You could make a guess, but right now you're kind of feeling like it would only be a guess. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't even be that informed of a guess. Who knows what they would do? You know, like maybe one would be more likely, but maybe not. Maybe they have other weird reasons. So you could just be in a goose chase at the end of the day anyway. By the way, as I was preparing for this, I won't say realized, but I guess I couldn't put off any longer the fact that you, the players, do not actually know the names of the entire Pentarchy.
Oh God, thank God, because I was like really racking my brain and afraid to ask. Like I was like, these are important people. I just don't know them.
We've never mentioned the other three. That's
correct. No, it just has never come up. And it's one of those things where like your characters know.
God, I thought I really forgot really important.
Right. And I assumed the same with listeners and that sort of thing. And again, this is information that is not new to your characters. Your characters would know these names in a way that rattles deep around in their soul. People like this do not get forgotten by history. These names will always be a part of the shared lore of Rixia. And their names are, of course, Nizar the Black, King of Discord. You know about Nizar the Black. You've encountered, you've had the very rare glory of being personally semi-slain Nizar the Black. Huge black dragonborn riding a giant steed who wears a crown that causes madness in others. Essentially the muscle, the conqueror of the Pentarchy. Of course, then there is Kalosh, Sage of the Sky, also known in some circles as Scourge of the Sky. This was actually an Arakocra, a bird person, who was one of the spy masters of the Pentarchy. There is Ferris Hardvek, the dwarven member of the Pentarchy, known better as the Mithril Fist of the Mountains.
Sick. Hell yeah.
Definitely provided a lot of the infrastructure, but also he was an independent ruler already and joined up with the Pentarchy later, kind of seizing an opportunity to grow his own power. And then finally, Valda Wormthrawler, who is from the north, who was well known for her private small army of wyverns that she would often bring into battle with her. As well as, of course, her legions of berserkers, of, you know, various warlocks, that sort of thing. Actually, from the area that Berga is from. So that's a neat thing that you should definitely bring up next time.
Won't be weird at all for Berga.
Won't be weird at all to talk about this.
What was she?
She would be a Goliath.
Ah.
Hey now, Gailb, I thought we were pretty cool. I don't think we're that cool anymore.
I think we're pretty far away from being the best adventurers.
Yeah. After hearing about all of these members of the Pentarchy and Celestia Dreamweaver on top of that, the most magical person of our age.
I was indeed leaving out Celestia Dreamweaver, whose titles are too vast to recall without diving deeply into my notes. Conqueror of Death. Most supreme sorcerer of her age, et cetera, et cetera. And personal good friend of Checkers the Grunger.
That's true.
Yeah, unfortunately, when you create your characters at level like 2 or 3, you can't call yourself things like Mithril Fist of the Mountains without being laughed off the table. So, you know, you're building to it, unfortunately.
I kind of imagine that Celestia Dreamweaver's Citadel. Is it the largest or are they all the same size?
Very specifically, they are all the same size.
Okay.
Because the Pentarchy always very publicly was very like, we are essentially the five fingers of a fist together that are in perfect harmony and synchronization, and we are all equals, and each of us are a world-shattering, powerful leader. But everyone knew that Celestia Dreamer was actually in charge. So optically, they're all the same.
So they're the same distance away from the tower, basically, like in a pentagram.
Exactly. So they are basically in five different corners of this walled-in city.
Cool.
Val's last thought about where to go is, if Farai was brought here to summon elementals, and that summoning was the cause of Sunfall, you might need something that amplifies that summoning. And is that amplifier the tower?
It must be. That's a great idea, Val.
I have potentially a very dangerous idea. Val, you learned how to control elementals to some degree from your books, correct?
I'm not creating another Sunfall. I will not.
Okay, that's fair.
Damn. Yeah. Immediately. That was not Sophie and David, the player. That was not Kaskrin and Val. That was husband and wife looking at each other and being like, I know what's about to happen.
All right. You know.
It's only like a 3% chance.
I put it out there. And now I'm looking back at the map and I'm just trying to see, like, are there back alleys to...
I mean, do you think another sunfall will make this place, you know,
we got to turn it off and on again. Yeah. I mean, we turned it off, like... Maybe we do then check the tower out first.
Can we vibe check the tower? More so, like...
You've already vibes checked the tower, and you determined it was a tower. I guess, I'll re-vibe check the tower for you all the players and our dear listeners at home. The tower that we've talked about, as you may or may not recall, is in the smack dab middle of this city. It reaches higher than any constructed building that any of you would have ever seen. And it is very strange geometrically and architecturally. It was strange in that, as Val kind of correctly noticed, it was made up of dozens, hundreds of obelisks reaching up into the sky, which is reminiscent to, you know, some Pentarchy shenanigans that maybe you guys have encountered something like 100 episodes ago.
So let's do a quick lap of the tower. Checkers can vibe check it. Maybe not touch it.
It's asking a lot.
You're too dexterous for Val to stop, so... and then we had
self stop
checkers. Celestia, Dreamweaver, Citadel.
Okay.
Kasperin's
gonna grab a rope and like hook it up to a python and then start making its way down the side of this building into one of the back alleys, some way that's a little still off the beaten path.
Val will follow.
So we'll just drop.
I'm staying up here. I don't know why you
I was gonna say, Sel, you should just walk down.
Right. And we're gonna start making our way towards the tower, whereas before we were looking at it, you know, 1,000 feet up. Now we want to see what's close to it on the ground.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, everyone. David here with the Midroll. We hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. If you want more of the Reckless Attack crew, come join the community on Discord. The link is in the show notes of the episode and on our website, recklessattack.com. If you want to support the show, head on over to Patreon, where you can get access to our Behind the Screen Talkback series, as well as our new series, Reckless a Snack, where we eat snacks and chat about the question of the day. As always, if you like the show, be sure to tell a friend about it too. Thanks so much for listening. And now, back to the episode.
Guys, we're going to enter into a fun little mini game that I've semi-devised.
Cool.
For each of the various goals that you may or may not have throughout your time here in the city, I am borrowing a mechanic from Blades in the Dark with a progress clock. And basically how it works is each success that you have, you check off a little thing on the progress clock. I'm going to be asking for a series of rolls and scenes. There will be some confrontations, all that good stuff. And based on the difficulty of each task that you are trying to undertake, you will have a different amount of little segments to fill out of this clock. So we are now entering into the Tower Obelisk progress clock, essentially. What I'm going to do first is I'm going to ask, it sounds like you guys are taking a stealthy approach off of this rooftop and kind of into the city. Is that accurate?
Yes.
That seems about right.
I would like everyone to make a stealth check for me with the exhaustion, but also with Pass Without Trace, which is a plus 10 to your stealth.
And exhaustion is minus 2?
Yep. Correct. So at a plus 8 in total.
Val with a 26.
Selv with a 15.
Kaskrin with a 13.
Checkers with an 18. Mango with a 25.
I forgot that we'd be rolling with Mango as well.
Val and Mango just become transparent in the darkness.
Yeah.
Oh God, where do they go?
Yeah.
So we have the DC that we are looking for all of these is a DC 17.
Okay.
And that is, regardless of what skill you are using in future, whenever we do kind of one of these group rolls, the DC is always going to be 17. So we have, what was it? It was 2 failures and 3 successes?
I think so.
What did Checkers get?
18, 25.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Allow me to roll on my chart. So, behind the screen, you guys have run into a neutral outcome of this skill check. You guys have hopped down and you are winding through these alleys, or for the more web-footed individuals, I presume, jumping from rooftop to rooftop. You're making your way towards the tower. It's, of course, very obvious to find at least one route to the tower. And with enough magic and all that stuff, you're able to pass without too much trouble until you turn a corner and you see a small group of the barely there amorphous blob humanoids that are walking straight towards you. Everyone roll me a dexterity saving throw, please. Actually, the people who are on the ground, roll me a dexterity saving throw, please.
Aha.
A natural one.
Oh, no.
18.
11. Kaskrin fails.
Kaskrin.
Yes.
Everyone else jumps out of the way, but they catch you just enough out of surprise that the whole group passes through you.
Yeah.
And you realize exactly how Checkers felt.
Okay.
Except
yeah.
probably 3 or 4 times in a row.
Yeah.
Just a truly bad time.
Can I make a constitution saving throw to like suppress the scream? Like,
absolutely.
I don't want to give this away as best I can. That's still only a 14.
You all hear Kaskrin give a teeny sound, which sounds like as this small group of passersby go straight through him and keep walking.
And Kaskrin at this point is like, the first one was bad. The second time was horrible. He is like on his, you know, like hands on his knees now, breathing heavily, trying not to pass out. And he like braces himself against the wall. It's like, all right, we need to keep moving.
But again, these creatures pay no mind to the people who are on the ground. Don't react. You take no damage.
Yeah.
Kaskrin. And they go and join a throng of people, presumably, in the main thoroughfare up ahead.
Val got a natural one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I apologize.
Everything that happened to Cass happens to Val. Yeah.
Yes. Would you also roll me a constitution saving throw, Valeska Carter? I apologize. I forgot for your even worse roll.
11.
What lightly louder noise does Val make as she experiences 5 consecutive worst non-damaging?
Yeah.
Sound.
Yeah, because Kaskrin was sort of able to step out of the way, so he caught kind of the edge of this group, whereas Val, like, deer in headlight froze and then just got hit with the full brunt.
I actually love to imagine that Val did try to get out of the way, but she and Kaskrin pivoted the same way.
Yeah,
and then so, like, there weren't actually more of them. She just went back through.
Yeah.
Just like she kind of bounced off
like
Cass.
A pinball.
Yeah.
Got it.
I don't think she screams. I think she just vomits. That kind of thing.
Got
she,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is just doubled over retching in the alley.
Which is a very interesting sight to see because, as a reminder, essentially, Val's vomit is floating on semi-transparent ground. And isn't that neat? What a fun thing for everyone to imagine. Let's all pause for a moment.
Yeah,
right. And imagine
it's,
what that looks like.
It's funny because, like, I, David, the player, will not be any less serious about playing this game, but I know, like, Kaskrin is, like, locked in and has been for a while. Especially now experiencing that, it's like, all right, there's no more games, there's no more jokes. Like, we got, you know, we're right here on a mission. I, David, however, going to make dumb jokes the entire time.
Yeah, good. I trust your balance as ever.
Yeah.
You guys keep going. But Selv, just for a moment, out of the corner of your eye, you see from through one of the windows, from inside a building, you catch just a glimpse of a medium solid spirit turn its head and look out the window before turning back to whatever it was presumably doing. But that is a success. I marked one on your pie chart.
I think there's a... whether they notice us or not depends on how solid they are. So the more defined they are, the more chance that these things will notice us. I think something looked our way or went back to what it was doing, but it looked more solid than those ones that just kind of passed through.
And Castron kind of looks up towards like Selv and Checkers with a kind of quizzical look. You know, are there any guards around us?
Can I try to see if there's any guards in the immediate area?
Certainly. Give me a perception check.
Can Mango and I both do this, given that we're both up here?
Absolutely. Or you could take advantage.
Okay, I'll do that. That'll be a 22 for Checkers.
There are certainly guards around. No one is particularly close to the group, but you take a wrong turn here or there, or they take a wrong turn, and it could get dicey pretty quickly.
Okay. Kaskarin is going to look back towards Selv and Checkers and kind of like make like a hand signal.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a guide us.
Two syllables. First syllable. Yeah. First
Val word. Will cast Mind Link with Checkers.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Hi, Val.
Hi, Checkers. Gosh. Just be glad you only got one bird through the chest.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty bad. Sorry.
It's not okay, but here we are. Val, just in Mind Link with Checkers, will just say, hey, can you help us avoid more of those? And especially the guards? I don't want to do that again.
Yep, you got it. I'm on the case.
And Checkers is actually going to move ahead a little bit from the group and just keep an eye out for any guards that are coming their way.
Checkers slash Jonathan.
Yes.
You are taking point.
Absolutely.
Of this investigation, of this kind of further progression, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I will ask you, what's the next point of interest, since you guys rolled a neutral outcome,
mm-hmm.
what's the next point of interest that you guys stumble upon? Whether it couldn't be an example of a busy thoroughfare, it could be something like a zoo. Something, it doesn't have to be a scene, but like a city feature that you guys run into.
So you guys know how in Chicago there's those big statues downtown with the faces that spit water at you?
Yep.
Yes,
we have that in Narhasar. It's just like big statues of the Pentarchy with their faces, and they're just spitting water out into a main central plaza, and all the kids and adults love it. They're like splashing around in there, and it's a great time, and that's what we run into.
That's a real, real specific message.
Yes.
I'm going to yes, but on that one. It is. I am 100% in on all of that, except it would not be the members of the Pentarchy.
Okay.
But
that's
it would
fair.
Be giant stone carved faces that are all animated.
Okay.
That are making faces and spouting little water at all of the kids who are indeed shrieking and having a wonderful time. Again, but you think they're children because.
They're smaller blobs?
Smaller blobs. Running around and slightly larger blobs sitting on park benches watching the goings on. You see certainly as well a couple of slightly more in focus individuals, but no guards, no in focus people, shall we say. So you've come to a park essentially here in the city of Narhasar. There's not tons of buildings around. There's kind of a lot more activity here if you're down on the ground. You could go back to the rooftops. You could try to just run quickly through. How would you like to group handle this problem of getting through this park, through, around, over, etc.?
I think Val would try to kind of like time moving with like the different water spouts, because like if this is a park and if these tiny blobs are children, parents are watching like, they might be looking away, but when their children, like, yell and happy, they're focused on something. So that's an opportunity to move.
Making sure it is a children's scream of delight and not a scream of terror.
Yeah.
I also apologize. What I would like to do is have it still be a little bit skill challengey, where there is one person who's like,
Oh, okay.
Which is great, because again, it was like, Sophie, in this moment, Val sees the way forward for the group. And you take bold action, and everyone's like, sick. Cool. That sounds like a great idea, Val. Val, what does the group do? How do you guys approach this? And what is the group check that goes along with that?
I was hoping to read the situation and use insight for that. Because also I'm trying to like read the parents' vibes, like the adults who would raise an alarm and make sure they are looking away while we're moving.
Give me a group insight check, everybody.
Oh, it's a group insight?
Yeah. How could you do
this?
I've
made my choice! Starbuck, I love you. I have to throw it away.
It's in timeout?
It's in a second natural one.
Oh, no.
Dang.
Checkers with a 14, Mango with an 8. Caskrin with a 16. I actually did pretty well that time.
Yeah, pretty good.
But the DC was 17.
I didn't say I did. Yeah. I passed. Right.
Yeah, yeah, just based on the numbers.
Yeah.
Luckily, Self has a decent insight, so even with the minus 2, I got a 21.
You guys book it through this square. You know, maybe you're kind of keeping to the outside, outskirts, that sort of thing. You're not just running through all of these ghostly creatures.
Val definitely mistakes a scream of terror as a scream of delight.
Yeah.
From the children.
You guys are about halfway across this park when a few of the more corporeal blobs all turn their heads and look directly at you all.
Are they the more corporeal blobs or the most corporeal blobs?
I haven't found a good way to classify them. They are the more corporeal blobs.
Okay, cool.
And those that notice, and they are all shapes and sizes, turn from whatever they are doing and start jogging in your direction. And from one of the alleyways nearby, a couple of other of the more their spiritual creatures also appear, totally silent, but moving quickly towards you, appendages outstretched.
That's terrifying.
I hate this so much. As Val sees outstretched appendages from more their beings, she instinctively casts Turn Undead, because she can't experience any more of the undead near her at all.
Very reasonable. So, because you are a level 7 cleric, I just rolled 3d6. I'm removing 2 of those d6s. Please remove a Turn Undead from your character. Everyone takes 3 necrotic damage.
Ugh.
As one of these hands reaches out and swats at you all.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the same horrible sensation that now most of you have felt. Only Selv and Mango, I think, have not yet been struck.
Mm-hmm.
Except this time, there's a pain associated with it. It is sharp and stabbing. And some holy light erupts from Val at the last moment. Val, what exactly happens?
I think Val is running like across the plaza, and she immediately knows she timed this poorly and did not run when people weren't looking. And like instinctually, she has to keep running because she's felt that pain so recently and knows what's coming. But then right before they reach her, she feels like the hairs on the back of her neck stand up, and she turns with her holy symbol like kind of swinging as she turns, and from that this burst of blue light moves forward almost as, I want it to sound cooler than this, as like a secondary, like opposing blob.
Yeah.
As like a shield, but like
yeah.
cooler than that.
Cooler, the cooler version.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Sick, sick rad blob coming out and kind of like acting as a barrier for these beings.
Any undead that is within the, what, 30-foot radius is turned and retreats from the party. This holy light pushes all of these creatures away, and you guys are able to just charge forward without them reacting to you in any way, except to watch you go. As you break line of sight on the park, you see the creatures that came up to you to try and attack you all walk calmly back to wherever they just were and whatever they were just doing.
God, that makes it so much fucking worse. That makes it so much creepier.
Kaskrin looks at the tower and realizes it's never looked farther away.
Yep.
So that was just a bad outcome because we're getting started, but you did not progress your clock of successfully infiltrating the tower.
Cool.
Now I get to pick the next scene that you run into. You guys are booking it through these alleyways. Maybe you're a little rattled. Maybe you're just trying to keep moving forward. And suddenly you hear a voice call out. You five, stop there. And in front of you is a checkpoint manned with a combination of not particularly there blobs, as well as fully corporeal Pentarchy soldiers. You guys have emerged onto maybe not a major street, but major enough street. And while some of the guards are checking papers, one turns to you five and says, "Papers, now," and extends his hand.
Val will mind link Cass and say, "I'm going to let you do the talking."
Yeah.
And Val hands over a notebook. Like, several little, like, field notes notebook.
Yeah. Like, I'm kind of...
Five of them.
Yep.
Like, I'm imagining, too, Kaskrin is, like, you know, looking embarrassed, like, patting his pockets, like, giving a whole thing.
Sure.
While Val gets these papers, and then, you know, he grabs a handful of them. And he presents them so confidently to the guard. It says, "Here you are, my fine blob."
Don't say blob! They don't know!
My fine, incorporeal, indistinct creature.
He takes them from you.
And Kaskrin starts, like, kind of looking around, just seeing what else is here. Because, like, he's like, I have the 0.5 seconds between when he grabs it and when he actually reads the papers to figure out what to do.
God, I'm just really hoping he just needs papers and, like, can't read in his blob form.
Yeah.
And, again, he corporeally takes these papers and starts looking at them. And that means you, David, get to choose the group check that is being done in this moment to bypass this event.
Unfortunately, I think in this case it has to be deception.
Okay. Give me a roll, everybody.
Can I cast guidance on myself?
Would you like to risk casting guidance in front of these soldiers?
No.
Okay. I mean, just
why
just
is it that in my mind it sounds perfectly reasonable, but when you repeat it back to me, I sound insane.
It's just, you know, a quick touch and a little prayer.
And just, you know, some utterances of spell casting.
In Celestia Dreamweaver City. How do you think she feels about that, huh?
Starbuck, I have to retire all of your dice.
Kaskrin actually passes with a 17.
Very good.
Wow.
Val with a 6.
Ooh, okay.
Mango does not have a single deceptive bone in his body.
Makes sense.
He got a 14.
That's pretty good, though.
That's not bad.
That's a handful of deceptive bones.
Zero deceptive bones.
Only good boy.
Only good boy.
He's all cartilage anyway.
His eyes betray everything.
Uh-huh. Checkers with an 8, however.
A what?
An 8.
Ooh.
Selv also not being very deceptive has an 8.
We got to do more acting classes, guys. Yeah. Like, we got to work on this.
So, the guard's eyes scan through these papers very seriously.
Yeah.
And look up at you all.
My name is Boris. I need to get through to feed my family. Please.
Looks
wow,
like
that's a terrible accent.
It's fantasy, David. Yeah. That exists. It is
great.
Now unfortunately canon.
Phenomenal.
That somewhere
that
in the corner of Rixia, someone sounds like
yes.
that, and his name is Boris.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And he wants to feed his family. Looks down. Looks up at you. And he says, wait here a moment. And steps back. And gestures to another one of the guards who approaches. What do you do?
Kaskrin is going to take a piece of paper and he is going to cast the spell Minor Illusion on it. But he is going to actually cast it with the other metamagic that he knows. Subtle.
Okay.
Hey.
And so he grabs a little bit of fleece from the inside of his pocket, makes no discernible movements or somatic components, and pulls out as close to a replica as he can get of an ID that he's seen from someone else. And he's not going to try and hand it to them. He's just going to hold on to it and just like show them like, oh no, my Boris made mistake. No, this paper.
Both of the guards now come up and they didn't seem to notice whatever you just did. But this second guard approaches and around his neck is a large cylinder that is chained in multiple places to his body. And he walks up and he says, are these the papers? And the other guard nods. I guess these are the ones that we should be looking at. And the second guard looks at you, Kaskrin, looks at all of you. Says, the eye will tell for true. And he holds up the cylinder. And Kaskrin, you being the person that it is pointed at,
yep.
can see on the inside of it is the iconic symbol of Celestia Dreamweaver, which is a waking eye that, of course, sees through illusion and sees through deception, life, death itself, and holds it up to your fake paper. And this person looks at it, looks up at you, looks at it, and says, all right, clear. Let him through. The first guard kind of glares at you and throws the papers down on the ground in front of you. And he says, don't make that mistake again.
Kaskrin, falls to the ground trying to pick the papers up and scrambles. Like, Boris, thanks you. Yes, Boris will not make this mistake again.
What's your AC?
17.
Kaskrin.
Yep.
You take 9 points
yep.
of necrotic damage as this first guard kicks you in the stomach.
Yeah.
As you're bent over.
Kaskrin is now groveling like half. You know, he's got a lot of inspiration for the grovel and the cries of pain. He's like, no, don't hurt Boris. But he will pick up the papers and kind of like, you know, usher everyone through the checkpoint.
I have a random question.
Absolutely.
The notebooks were blank. Would any of paper just work?
For which, like, you mean...
Because the eye isn't there anymore, technically. Like, it wouldn't have detected anything.
Sophie, would you like to... Excuse me, Val, would you like to make an Arcana check to
yes.
see if you could figure out what just happened?
I would love to. God damn it.
No way. No.
The natural one.
The natural one.
On a third different die.
Yes. You would, boy, wouldn't it be nice if you could figure out what just happened? Maybe
great.
It's a great clue as to what's going on, as to kind of the limits or situation that you're in, or maybe boons you guys might have. But boy, that sucked, and you just vomited like 45 seconds ago, and that's still pretty rough. That, because you have had two bad outcomes. You still have had two not very bad outcomes in a row, but have then solved the problem in front of you. You guys move another tick on your progress clock.
Yay!
You guys shuffle through. The blob blocking the nominal doorway moves out of your way, and it opens up into the street behind, where in front of you, still a ways away, several obscured blocks away, where no doubt more trouble and opportunity awaits, you see the giant obelisk in the middle of the ghost city of Narhasar. But that is where we'll pick up next week. See you all next time.
Oh, man.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 I have to get all new dice.
Out of table. Do we want to do the tower or do we want to go to a citadel?
I think a citadel. Because, like, okay. We probably won't get anything, like, just looking at
the tower again.
The tower, yeah.
Unless... Well, we didn't go in the tower.
No, but, like...
I mean, that's fine. Okay. But, like, honestly, we might as well start with the biggest structure.
Well, if it's an obelisk, there's not a door. So let's do a quick lap of the tower, see if there's a door.
See if, like, Grumbiel is, like, strapped to the obelisk.
Yeah.
It could be just on the other side of where we were.
Well, listen, just...
That's that weird hum we've seen. Yeah.